Summertime coming up to close to an end, and Pastor Ken, I'll tell you, he always amazes me with some of the themes that he comes up with. And when he first came up and asked me to come in here and said, "This is what we're doing," I said, "Okay, all right." So, and we started getting on this, and I really started getting into it. So this is the third time that I get to preach on something in here. Today we get to talk about potato salad. Now, what's a picnic or a barbecue or something without potato salad? And unfortunately, there is a whole whack of different types of potato salads out there. Now, everybody's probably got their favorite. We got the classic potato salad. We've got warm potato salad. We've got even a mock potato salad that really has no potatoes in it, believe it or not. Now, I was thinking that somebody told me this, and I said, you know what, it can't be true. How can you have potato salad without potatoes? I could see tofu in there because that would absorb the taste and, you know, would sort of sound like it. It's actually made with saltine crackers. And apparently it tastes very similar and very much like a potato salad. I don't know. I just can't get into that. So what goes into a potato salad? We have eggs and we have mayonnaise. And you know what? If you asked me, I couldn't tell you. My wife makes a potato salad. I just eat it, you know, to be honest with you. So I'm looking on the recipe online, and you got Martha Stewart, you got Healthy Living, there's recipes galore, and there's recipes that have been handed down in each family of how to make potato salad. Some with apples, potato salad with cauliflower, asparagus. Found some neat recipes on there, I'll tell you, when I was looking at this. But let's talk about the classic potato salad. And I started looking at this, and the basic ingredient of potato salad, whether it be regular chunks of potatoes, thank you, I forgot my little point, thanks Nick, whether it be the regular little chunks of potato salad or mashed potatoes in there, which they do, or have apples in, either one, it's all potato salad. And I reminded, when I looked at that, I was thinking back to a movie called Faith Like Potatoes. It takes place in South Africa. And he was talking about in there that he was a farmer and he did everything himself. He was a farmer in South Africa going through conflict and unrest in there. And he was going through this conflict and he ended up moving into Zambia in there. And he was growing his crops and they were doing alfalfa and growing the money crops and doing things like that. And everything was going against him. Pretty much like that psalm we read earlier in 88. And I think the next slide I got is that. Psalm 139 where we got him. Pretty much going against everything where he thought, you know what, I'm going to get this done. I'll be like myself. I can't have good help. I can't get good help. I'm going to do it myself. I've always done it myself. I'm just going to keep doing it. And he found out that he couldn't do it. And Psalm 139 reminds me very much in there of where we were. And when I was looking at this going in here, I was reminded also of one thing in there when we're talking about potato salad. Do you realize that there is a posting on the website that religious groups in potato salad, that there's some correlation that they are overweight because of potato salad in the States? So I said either they do a lot of food cooking, because we eat well in the church. I don't know any church that does not eat well that goes with food. So either they do a lot of potato salads down in the States, or they have a lot of really heavy ingredients in there, rich ingredients. There's even a religious show on potato salad. In there I found probably one of the longest TV shows on there is The Simpsons. Believe it or not, had a show called Simpsons Bible Stories. And it was in the 10th year. It was in the 10th year of their season in episode 18. And they were all going to church. And they were in church. And they kept falling asleep. Different ones. Bart and everybody kept falling asleep in church. And they'd wake up and they all had these different things. Goliath and food. And of course Homer being the last one falls asleep in there. the church. And they wake up at different times, different things in the sermon. And they've drifted off and been distracted and found out in the world and different ones coming in there. And they figure that they are in trouble because they're all feeling guilty. I fell asleep in church when the pastor was preaching. You know, it's happened to, I think, all of us at some time or another. We've dozed off or been sidetracked, and the pastor's message has taken us to a new level. But Psalm 139 speaks to us in a very, very special way. We're only dealing with a few verses, but the whole psalm, the first 18 verses, deals about a God who is there. A God who is there in our lives, compared to Psalm 88, what we read earlier, where it says there doesn't seem like to be a God, and where is He? But this speaks to us very much of a God being in our lives. It's a psalmist telling into two different things in there with a psalm, of self-justification and of cursing and vengeance, believe it or not, in the psalms. It happens. And it's a justification of the psalmist that they put in there, a tendency to call down and spell out probably sometimes the most terrible vengeance to come on people. This psalm speaks to us very much like potato salad, that comfort food that's there with us. It speaks to us about that we cannot see God, but that He can see us. It speaks to us about how that God was there, and that from the very creation time of it's in there, it speaks to us about how God sees us is there. That no matter what we do, that God is there for us. Whether can I go in the most distant corners of the world, in heaven or anywhere, I cannot go out of the reach of God. God will be there for us. He'll see us in the true light in Him. Nothing is hidden. In a potato salad that we go in there, we can hide things, because sometimes we look at a potato salad and you try to figure out what's in there. And it comes into there. But He is there. God is probably the most openness of everything that's there. There's no secrets that we can hide from Him. We can hide the secrets from ourselves. We can fool ourselves that everything's going well and pat ourselves on the back and saying how well we've done. But we've been made done that because of God's gifts to us. God has provided the means for us to have everything that we have in here. He teaches us, on the other hand, that He is there as the most openest of books. We cannot be removed from His comforting and supporting presence. We can scream out and say, God, why have You forsaken me? Why aren't You there when trouble comes to us? But He is there. Famous words in Revelation, knock and you shall open the door. How many times we heard that saying that it's in there, but is it that the door is locked? Or is it we're too busy hanging on to that handle because we don't want to open that door? All we have to do is push that door open, but we're too busy pulling on that door, keeping it shut because we don't want to take that step into that unknown. That step of giving in there, that God is with you, walking with us on that road. This psalm tells to us that we are knitted together. For You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. From the very start, God knew what He was going to have us be. Because inside, we are all made in His image. He has made us all maybe different on the outside, but yet they say to us that there is your identical twin somewhere in the world that looks exactly like you. I don't know if I want to meet that. It's sometimes scary enough looking in the mirror in the morning. But God knows us. From our innermost being inside of us, He knows where we are. He knits all those parts together and forms us and brings us up from the child of a small infant to bring us through, forming us together. And that comforting presence of friend. As a child, we sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Knowing that He walks with you. At Christmas time, you know, like away in a manger, being in there, feeling that warmth of God's embrace in there. And that is God's promise to us that we have in there. We have in there where in this psalm, actually, when he starts it and bookends it in there, he tells us very simply in there, I will bow down. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. And the opening line of this psalm is probably the most important. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. And this is what talks to us in the depths. We saw the days when he formed us and when we started from the very beginning of where we were. He saw us and knew us. And yet, as we come through in here and we go through this of the wickedness in there and the body counts and the deeds, God is there to do everything with us. And yet, a change of thought brings the psalmist back in this part when he's writing this in here. He brings us back into where he is talking about finding God in his own life. Of seeing how much God is interwoven in his actual life that's in there. He's not just there preaching about the words of the pastor, but how God has formed everything that he is and knitted them together. And he finds that they are more awake than the grains of sand. And yet, normally on this psalm, we end here on verse 18. And in most cases, it ends with, if I could count them, they are more than sand. I awake and I am still with you. And in most cases, that's that, you know, you get the like that potato salad, that warm comfort feeling. Oh, that was good. I feel good. I feel content. And sometimes that message ends with Psalm 18. And it ends with that good part that God is with us, all the good things that God has done to us in there, of Christ in our lives, of Christ coming, the promise that is there of Him being with us. And it's that feel-good moment that sometimes you see on some religions, hey, God is good, God is great, He's with you, and everything's fine. But the psalmist comes in here and does that about flip, starting with verse 19. And verse 19 to 22 actually takes the other side of what we talked about in here of the tendency to spell out probably the most terrible vengeance. Because it prays for the wickedness that is in the world and the recognition that there is wickedness in this world, that there is sin and there are wicked people out that don't want you as a Christian to be in this world. Sad to say, there are people like that. And the psalmist very clearly comes to us in 19 and sets us out in there and talks to us of adversities that they speak to us with an evilness. And they misuse your name. They misuse the name of the Lord and turn it down. How many of you saw that bus sign that says, "Is there a God?" Posted over the back of buses traveling through the city, signs up there. Is there a God questioning you? And unfortunately, sad to say, in my own church, the United Church that I belong to, that their weak response was, maybe there is a God. What a weak response. I said I was totally devastated. And many letters went in about that. We were terrified. We know there is a God. We know that there is a God because we've seen Him active in our lives. We've seen the graces that He's given to this congregation. The strength and support that brings that through in community. And that strength only comes from a belief and a faith in God. And he prays also, the psalmist does two things in there. Not only wickedness in the world and the sin in the world that's there, but he also prays also for his own self in here. For the prayer for sin in himself. This is a psalm that acknowledges God in here, but also gives us a prayer in here for, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. The psalmist is only questioning, what about, do I have sin in me? Asks us as an individual. Yes, we could condemn, but also are we worried about the other? And it tells me to lead me in the way of everlasting life and everlasting brooding. And it's probably one of the most better things that this psalm is bookend, both ends coming in with verse 1. You know when I sit and when I rise, and you perceive my thoughts from afar. And it's, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. We are questioned in this summertime as we go through in here and we think about this and what's happening with potato salad and of summertime and all these various things that we have in here and related to our faith. But our faith is knitted together. And in a potato salad, the main ingredient and the rock of that happens to be the potato. And we talked a little bit about a movie called Faith Like Potatoes. And he took his faith as the farmer came in and found God to plant in a dry region potatoes that recovered, that required a whole lot of water. And potatoes, if you've ever grown potatoes in a garden, you have to plant them in the ground. You plant the seed potatoes underground. There is no indication of whether you've got potatoes or do I have nothing until you actually take that fork, you know, that tiny fork in there and dig in the ground and lift it up and find out whether you've got potatoes. That's the only way you know when it comes to harvest. That is like what the psalmist is saying in here. Our faith is built on this rock that's in there. And sometimes that we're going through and we don't see where God is there. We don't see that, you know, how he's come much in our lives sometimes because the world has come into our lives and come down on our lives so much. And so, as much as God knows us, and we know that God knows, and we're praying to God, but sometimes we're just not hearing God coming in, we need to have that faith still that's in there. And we need to dip into that well and know that's in there and question in our own selves, am I succumbing to the world's influence on me? Or am I staying still in what the scripture says, that you know what? God has known me since before I was born. He knows everything that I'm going to do and everything that I will become and has given me the gifts to use and put people in my path to help me move along to where I need to go, no matter what age. And like that potato, when you dig it in and lift it up, and found out that you have potatoes, you have a crop, you have a harvest. God knows that he will lead me in the way everlasting. God's thoughts concerning our welfare are deep. They go beyond anything we could ever imagine and be known. We cannot think how many mercies sometimes we have received from him. But would it help us to know how many? Is there a list that we keep track of in the mercies? Our prayers are simple. It's God, forgive me, have mercy on me for sinners. The Jesus prayer. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner. That's all I know that I am. That's all I can ever be. I know in my humanness that I am a sinner, but I know that God knows everything that I do and has promised me in here. That through Jesus Christ, who died for us on that cross, who with the way of the cross brought us into a forgiveness of our sins, that we would never have to pay that terrible price. We are going to be judged. We know that. Just like a potato salad would be judged in a food fair at a concert in there, we too will be judged. It's not going to be how well we look or how well we taste. For the flavor that we are must be the flavor that God gives us in there. A potato salad is formed by its consistency in the parts together. Do we have that consistency with God in our lives that knits us together and makes us into a pleasing way to God? I think we have it. When we come in faith to God, we are there. Surely we should be instruments of forgiveness and of righteousness rather than unrighteousness and hate. Surely we should be forgiveness for living and overcome our sins and provide it. How can then we oblige to meditate on God's love to sinners when we can't even forgive ourselves sometimes for the sins we do? We need to love everyone as Jesus loved. Yet while we shun them, we should also pray for them. We need to pray for the wicked in this world. We need to pray for those that are in their salvation, that with God, salvation is possible. And we should earnestly desire and pray to be searched and posted and proved and tested by God every day that we go in there, so that we know that we will lead me in His way everlasting. Homer Simpson woke up in church after falling asleep and said these words, and I'm going to quote in there. Simpsons wake up, and of course Madge, his wife, is ashamed that they all fell asleep in church, to which their Homer answers, "It's not the end of the world that I fell asleep in church." And as they walk outside of the church, they discover that the apocalypse and the rapture is upon them. The Simpsons, the Flanders, go to heaven because of them being extremely devout and going to church a lot. While the Simpsons go to hell because they are not having Christian beliefs, although they may go to church. Lisa is the only one going up to heaven, but Homer pulls her down saying, "Where do you think you're going, Missy?" As the stairway opens and they enter, Homer can be heard screaming, "You're out of hot dogs. The coleslaw has pineapple in it. And oh, it's a German potato salad." It's not something that he was familiar with. It was something different. But we come to Christ equally. We come to Christ all as sinners. And we come turned into, once accepting Jesus, once accepting the way of the cross, we come formed into that potato salad that is pleasing. Not a potato salad that's been left outside and is turned a bit and you're not sure whether to eat it, but an offering that is pleasing to the Lord, that is everlasting in there, and that is constantly questioning and searching to a God that intimately knows each and every one of us, and loves us, and knows where we're going, and has use for us all. Because there's nobody in the Bible that started when they served God or were called to God, started at an early age. So if you're a little bit past 50, that's when God really starts calling you to do a lot of stuff. Abraham, Isaac, Noah. So John, you're in trouble. He's going to start calling you. Let us be that beautiful banquet for God, that our faith is knitted together, constantly questioning and searching, but knowing that God is the way, that God walks with us, that Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins, and that through Him, all things become possible. The love for sinners and the way that we need to live our lives were shown by the God made flesh on this earth through Jesus Christ, His Son, showing us the way to love, showing us to be the potato salad that people want to dive into. That when we see this smorgasbord of food and of summer delights that are here, that this is what people of God are. People of God are a delight because God has formed each and every one of us to be there. Amen. Thanks be to God.